Chapter 10, Arrest and Defense. I will now recount and record as far as I can remember my answers to the police. Questions for investigation. First by Sardar Gurdayal Singh, Superintendent Police of Nabha State, and then by Deputy Superintendent Mr. Atta Muhammad at the latter's residence sometime between 19th and 25th June 1915. Superintendent Police Nabha. Singh Sahibji, you are a true Sikh, so I hope you will tell the truth in reply to all the questions which I ask. To which I replied, are you a false Sikh, who consider me to be a Sikh and yet suspect that I may not tell the truth? A Sikh who is himself truthful sincerely believes other Sikhs to be truthful. To this he replied, I'm not a true Sikh. You can take me to be a false Sikh, just as I have frankly and sincerely told you that I am not a true Sikh, in the same way I have sincerely told you that I consider you to be a true Sikh. I replied, if you really consider me to be a true Sikh, then I will tell you the truth about whatever you ask me in your capacity as a police officer. But from your statement, it appears that you still suspect that I may not tell you the truth. A false person, as you assert yourself to be, has no right to suspect a person whom he considered to be a true Sikh. The superintendent replies, I am not trying to investigate whether you are a true Sikh or not. By knowing that you are a true Sikh, I expect to know through you the truth about certain incidents. I replied, It is a strange thing that you want to know the truth about certain happenings through a man whom you have arrested as a criminal and whom you are keeping in chains. The superintendent replies at that, at the very outset, I offered to take off your chains and ask you to sit in a chair, but you did not comply with the request. I replied, I know that even your offer of the chair is a trap. You are trying to mislead me. It is through your clever design that I am now under arrest and in chains. Now, by making a sham offer of chair and freedom, you only wish to ensure me in your trap. Superintendent, I am not responsible for what has been done to you. As a government officer, my duty has compelled me to do so. Personally, I would be the last person to see you in chains. It is only to take you out of this trouble I am trying to probe into facts. I replied, I have left everything to the will of God. I will face joy and sorrow according to His will, and endure everything as His sweet will. O Lord, if Thou give me happiness, I will remember Thee. If Thou givest me sorrow, even then I will worship Thee. I am not trying to complain to You about my present sorrow and grief, nor am I complaining why I have been thrown into prison. You are actually trying to double-cross me, and it is Your double dealings that pains me. Whatever You are doing to investigating is part of Your routine official duty. You do not have any real sympathy with me. It is better if you go ahead with the investigation instead of beating about the bush. The superintendent replies, believe me, sir, I have genuine sympathy with you. To this, I tell him, it is good for you to express your sympathy for me, but it is difficult for me to believe what you are saying, nor is it quite necessary for me to believe that you have genuine sympathy. You have asserted that you indulge in falsehood. If you are sincere and truthful, then only can you have sympathy with me. I do not know whether I should believe your first statement that you are a false Sikh indulging in falsehood, or the second statement that you have sympathy with me. My Guru has taught me never to have any faith in false people. He replies, all right, you can take me for a false Sikh, but at least you are a true Sikh of the Guru. It is your duty to tell the truth. If I know the truth about certain happenings, I may be able to take you out of this trouble and maybe may get some clue to save you. I tell him, the Guru has taught me never to seek freedom and safety from false men or sympathy from false officers. My duty as a true Sikh is to seek justice and fairness in the eyes of God and in the eyes of his lovers of truth. How can a false person discriminate between the true and false? Nor is it necessary for me to get your verdict on this matter. How can truth appeal to a person who acts on falsehood? What right have false persons and liars to question a truth-loving person. The intendant, superintendent, replies, if on the basis of the statement of a false person, the government accuses you of a crime which you have not committed, and if on the basis of the statement of that false person, a lover of truth like you, and is innocently involved in a serious case, is it not necessary for you to tell the truth to make things clear? I am trying to save you from false accusation. I tell him, so long as I am truthful and innocent in the eyes of the true Lord, and so long as I abide by the truth, I am not in the least worried if some false persons, or even the whole world, makes false accusation, on the basis of which the government puts me in chains. The government, which has arrested me on mere suspicion and false statement of professional liars, cannot be expected to believe my statement of truth. And I do not expect that such a government will suddenly begin to believe that I am innocent merely on the basis of my true statement. All this is sham sympathy. The superintendent replies, I can give you a concrete example. Achara Singh, the approver, has told me the truth, and the government has assured him his freedom and safety. I tell him, I am really ashamed of your hypocritical conversation. Do you put me in the same category as Achara Singh and wish to make me another approver? Strange is your sympathy. It is better if you do not make such suggestions to me. I am not prepared to talk to you in this connection. The superintendent says, forgive me, my suggestion has annoyed you. I do not intend to put you in the same category as Achara Singh. I give you a higher place and consider you a true Sikh. It is only out of this genuine sympathy I will now tell you some of our official secrets. It is Achara Singh who has made some statements against you on the basis of which you have been arrested. But we are not getting any solid evidence in favor of those statements. That is why you have been kept in the lockup for all these days. But now they have arrested another man who has revealed some more facts about a conspiracy in the presence of Mr. Donald, the SP of Ludhiana. He has told him that there are about 50 more persons with you, out of which he remembers the names of 5, 6 or 7. The names of the rest are known to you. This man has also revealed many other important facts which Mr. Donald believes to be true. His statement has been recorded in the presence of the magistrate. But I took permission from the SP to question you on this matter, as you know the truth. And being a saintly person, you are expected to tell the truth. Mr. Donald, the SP, has gladly agreed to the proposal that if, like Achara Singh, you also tell the whole truth, he will at once accept you as an approver and assure you your freedom and safety. I tell him, I did not expect you to have come here only with the intention of making me an approver. Only a man who has committed a crime may seek forgiveness. Do you believe that I have committed any crime? The SP says, no, I do not believe that you committed any crime, but the government believes that you have. I tell him, then go and tell your government to punish the criminal. I have not committed any crime. If your government wishes to accuse innocent persons of the crimes which they have not committed, then it is a government that would be committing a crime and will have to face the greater punishment before God. I consider myself to be absolutely innocent. If you want me to beg forgiveness only under threat, I am not prepared to do so. I considered it a humiliating suggestion. He alone fears who has committed a sin. The righteous persons are ever happy and carefree. So dare jo paap kamavda tarmi vigset. Those who commit sins live in fear, and out of fear they beg forgiveness, and thus commit more sins. But the righteous and sinless persons who have not committed any crime are not afraid of either any threat or torture, but they live in peace and joy. The SP says, Pai Sabji, in this case it is not merely question of torture. They may even sentence you to death. Mr. Donald, SP, told me frankly that if you do not seek forgiveness, you may be hanged. I tell him, this is far better than suffering torture. After all, this earthly body is like an earthen vessel which must break. Shame on Achara Singh for having become an approver. To save his own body, he has put into trouble many other innocent people, and thus committed a heinous crime. After all, how long will he live? At least he will die, and he will face a miserable death. It is a pity that the government official should do justice on the basis of evidence of such approvers, whose only aim is to save their own skin. These people who have neither any love for truth nor fear of God. This man is not prepared to tell lies and make statements which the police wants him to make. Now you have arrested a new man who must have committed a very serious crime. To save his life, he is now trying to involve more innocent people into trouble through his false statements. Do you think such a man could ever tell the truth, and do you consider such a man to be a true man? The SP, with tears in his eyes, says, "Forgive me, Paisab Ranthir Singh, for persuading you to become an approver and thus annoy your pure soul. I did not know that there still are such noble Sikhs like yourself. You have behaved like a true Sikh, and I now feel ashamed. Now, but you have behaved like a true Sikh, and I now feel that Sikhism is secure. Achara Singh is a curse to the Sikhs, and he has brought shame and blot to the community, which your noble character has washed away. I am convinced, more than ever, that you are absolutely innocent and truthful. In future, there will never be the slightest suspicion in my mind against you. I am going back to Naba, and I am going back with great joy and sorrow. There's a joy in my mind that you have upheld the high ideals of Sikhism, and the seed of the faith is safe. I'm going with the sorrow in my heart that such an innocent person like you will now undergo torture and punishment for the crime which you have not committed. This conversation may be considered a private one. I may inform you now that there is more trouble in store for you. They will try to torture you and force you to admit false things. You are a man with pure heart. Please see that you are not involved or trapped in any false crime case. Please hold your own like a rock. If some other officer succeeds in persuading you, then it will be a very great shock to me. This is my last request and my last appeal, which I request you to keep secret. Now I seek forgiveness from you and bid you goodbye." Tears rolled down his eyes as he spoke with his last words. The next discussion was with the DSP of Ludhiana. Atta Muhammad, Deputy Superintendent of Police Ludhiana, came to me and the following questions and answers ensued. The DSP says in Urdu, "The government is doing an extraordinary favor to you by giving you a golden opportunity to save yourself. It is better if you make good of this opportunity." I ask him, "What opportunity?" "Better talk to me in Punjabi." In Punjabi, he replies, "The government is giving you the opportunity to become an approver." I tell him, "I spit on this offer, and I do not know what words to use for those who make this offer." The DSP says, "Then you will have to undergo great torture, and in the end you may also be hanged." I tell him, "As long as my soul, my Atma, is fearless and sinless, no pain and suffering will come to it. It lives in peace, and it will continue to survive in a fearless peace. The more physical torture I undergo, the greater may be the blissful exaltation of the soul." The DSP says, "But if you make a statement according to the wishes of the government, you will be forgiven and set free. Besides this, you will be given many other rewards for your worldly luxury and happiness. I can just now bring you a written statement of the superintendent of police, giving assurance of your freedom and security if you become an approver. My superior officers also promised to immediately appoint you as an honorary magistrate. Besides this, whenever you attend the Viceroy's Darbar or the Emperor's Darbar, you will be entitled to a seat in the front row. What greater peace and happiness can your soul have than this, and what is the use of dying a miserable death?" I tell him, "My Guru's teachings have already convinced me that all the worldly pleasures are transient and insignificant. All these high offices and positions which you are offering me are nothing more than dust to me. You are offering me a magistrateship as a reward to feed my greed. I may tell you that even if you offer me the wealth and pleasures of all the world, I will not become an approver. I will not give up my faith in truth and dharma. I do not care a straw for all these honors and wealth. I recited the following lines from the Guru Granth Sahib. Those who have faith in the name of God, they do not give their mind to anything else. Even if earth made of gold is given to them as their kingdom, they will not give up their mind to anything except His name, says Guru Ram Das. The DSP says, how will you lose your religion and faith by becoming an approver? I also have a faith in religion. As a Muslim, I consider your religion to be as good as mine. Just as I do not like to lose my religion and faith at any cost, so also I do not wish you to give up your faith. Interrupting him, I says, religion is not a mere formal faith or creed. Religion is to abide by and live according to the principles of spiritual faith. You policemen have actually no religion or faith in your heart. I, as a disciple of the Guru, consider such service of British imperialism as a curse and is the shameful chain that you are carrying around your neck. As far as I know, your religion, Islam, also does not allow a Muslim to accept such slavery of British imperialism. Now tell me, how much of true Islam is there in your heart? Reflect seriously on the slavish and fearless, faithless deeds which you do in the service of the rulers, and then talk to me about religion and faith. The DSP says, now I understand your real meaning. You question me why I'm serving the British government. I tell you an oath of Supreme Allah and Lord Muhammad that if I were convinced that the British Raj would end soon, I would immediately give up this service. You people in haste and started your revolutionary activities much too soon. You did not wait for the proper time. I am also at heart against the British government, but I considered it foolish and short-sighted to rise in a revolt on flimsy and baseless grounds. I swear by Allah, the Pure One, that at heart my sympathy is with you. I'm not against fighting for freedom, but I am bound as a government servant by the command of the rulers, and I have to obey them. I'm waiting for such period when some rulers like Amir Kamal from the Islamic world would give us command to fight for our freedom. Then we will come into the open and will fight fearlessly. I tell him, all your ideas are of a man who lacks true religion and faith. A Muslim who has sincere love and faith of God would never swear either by Allah or by the Prophet or even through the oath, even though the oath is true or false. A man who swears by God is neither religious nor faithful to his creed in my eyes. There's a world of difference between your outlook and mine, and there can be no compromise or understanding between a person like you and me. DSP, interrupting me, says, why can't there be an understanding? We are also as much against the British Raj as you are. The only difference is that you want a revolt in hot haste, while we are a little more far-sighted and cautious. We are serving the same purpose. Our object is to win freedom and independence, and thus we are equally patriotic, and we also seek political power. I tell him, the object of my struggle is not to rule my country. To covet for my kingdom and rulership is against the spiritual ideal of my faith. As said in Guru Granth Sahib, I seek not kingdom, I seek not liberation. My mind yearns for the love of His lotus feet, says Guru Arjan Dev. Now tell me, how can there be compromise or understanding between you and me? DSP says, all the revolutionary activities and your fight against the British Raj was for no other purpose except to capture political freedom from the foreign rulers. I tell him, it is against my faith and creed to have a craze for political power. All your explanation of our struggle for political freedom is nonsensical. To this, the DSP replies, well, leave aside this religious discussion. We are not concerned with it. Come to the real point. Now tell me, for the last time, whether you will avail yourself of the golden opportunity which is being offered to you of becoming an approver. I tell him, never, never, never. Please do not bother me with any more such futile suggestions. The DSP says, well then, you will be receiving your food from outside according to your wishes for the last time today. then I will see how long you abide by your religious beliefs. Better reflect on this offer. You are given a day more to think about it. I tell him, my guru is ever with me. It is he who will help me to live according to the principles of my faith. You can send me to the prison just now. You need not give me a day's time more. On June 25th, 1915, I was sent to Ludhiana jail. Twice or thrice, the CID inspectors came for further questioning. I do not remember all the discussions that took place with them, but I remember one or two things which I am recording here. The CID inspector says, now the whole conspiracy has come to light and everything has been proved. It is still time that you should confess everything. Otherwise, there are some other people who are ready to become approvers and expose your activities. I tell him, what is the use of questioning me when everything has been proved? If you have been able to get some approver, go ahead and build a case and serve your evil purposes. What is the delay about? This inspector says, if you alone become approver, we will dismiss all other approvers. In the feet of the elephant can be included all small feet. The importance of your evidence will be much greater than the collective evidence of all these approvers. Besides, everyone believes that you will speak only the truth. Your statement will strike like an arrow. If you agreed to become an approver, we will throw all those people into the prison who are trying to involve you in the conspiracy case. I tell him, how sad and what a pity that your case is still so shaky. It is better you give these promises to those approvers. They must be very foolish and mean people who are so easily misled by you and are prepared to say anything and to repeat all falsehood which you dictate to them. The inspector, interrupting me, says, I think it is proper for you to punish such people who have brought so serious allegations against a noble and virtuous person like you. You must take a determined revenge against them. I tell him, I do not believe, nor do I feel necessary, to take the revenge. Sin is powerful enough to destroy the sinner. False prophet people will not find a place in his presence. Their faces will be blackened, and they will be driven to hell. Those who are absorbed in thy name, victory will be theirs. Those who try to cheat will face a defeat, says Bacha. Inspector at that asks him, well, if you hate becoming an approver so much, we will not compel you. Will you please tell us the names of the people who were with you when you passed the first resolution, the Gurmata? I tell him, you just now told me that all the facts have been proved, and those who wish to be approvers have told you everything. Why do you ask me now? The truth is that a liar does not remember what he has said earlier. Inspector to this replies, we know practically everything. The only thing we do not know is the secret resolution of your executive committee. No one knows better than you about these resolutions. Interrupting him, I said, oh, now you want me to lay a trap? No, you want me to lay a trap for me and foolishly drive me into a trap. I am really surprised at your understanding. Do you think that a man who has spurned your offers and refuses to become an approver can be moved by your persuasive tricks and talks? Supposing what you think was secretly decided by us in my mind, do you think that I will tell a person like you? There were no religious gathering or a counterpart where we did not make some secret and confidential decisions. Such closed-door decisions have been taken by the Sikh leaders for the last 3 centuries. They cannot be revealed to an outsider. If any Sikh does so, he will have to face punishment. There are even such resolutions which can be discussed only in the executive and cannot be discussed even in the general body. So whatever has decided in the meeting can never be told to anyone, even if I lose my head for it. The inspector says, tell us only the names of the persons who were with you. At least tell us the names of those who have turned against you, because their names are really no more secret to us. I tell him, Now you want me to spin lies by coaching the approvers. You have already blackened their faces. I consider it a sin to talk to persons like you. The inspector, disappointed, says, It is our duty to come here, and it is our duty to question you. I tell him, You have no right to ask me any question because you are neither a judge nor jury. The inspector replies, It is on their behalf we are investigating. I tell him, Be it so. Then your courts and your magistrates and judges also must be as false as you are. I want to make one thing clear. I have full control over my own self, and nobody can compel me to tell a lie. After this discussion, they went away. And now you ask me, Why did I put up a defense at all? I must tell you plainly and frankly that I did not put up my defense either to save my life or for personal ends. I am not worried about what people think. I was never afraid to die, and by the grace of the Guru, the thoughts of saving my life never came to my mind, even for a moment. At that time, I did just what I felt was proper to do. I would like to make it very clear that if innumerable other friends were not involved in the case, and if I alone had been arrested, I would not have put up any defense. In that case, I would either have remained silent or fearlessly given out the plan. My mind these days rarely goes into old happenings. You have, however, compelled me to record all these incidents, much against my wishes. What is there in an autobiography of a person like me? The sooner you give up this craze, the better. I have also developed a weakness to fulfill your wishes. Nowadays, I do not reflect about the past. That is why I request you to write whatever you like about my life and work after my death. But you keep on insisting on it so much that I am also drifting on the channel of your desires. Even though you were imprisoned for a short time, you were all along with us during the prosecution period and the court proceedings. It is strange that of all the people you ask me now, as if you were an outsider then, as to what was the cause of putting up defenses. Do you not know that whatever was said and done by me was done after consulting all freedom fighters who were imprisoned along with me? If you have any apprehension, even now, or any information that I joined the idea of putting up defense just to save my life, then who is more competent, as I witness, than you? And other co-prisoners who are still in prison, to clearly state all facts. What is the necessity of asking me? You can fearlessly state the truth and express your views on the subject. It is quite possible that if I made a mistake at any stage, I have remained ignorant of such facts so far. Possibly, I do not know my own personal weaknesses, because I'm an ordinary human being, with all human frailties. God and Guru alone are perfect. Everyone is liable to error. Beyond this, I cannot say anything on the subject. I do not remember what was the immediate cause of putting up defense, but I do remember that this is a deeply engraved on the tablet of my heart, that I did not put up the defense either out of fear of death or out of fear of any physical suffering. Whatever happened was done according to the collective wishes of the Sangha.